Monster Movie Media presents.
Welcome to Creepy Kingdom, a podcast all about the creepiness of the Disney films and theme parks. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II. And welcome to the 31 Creepy Days of Halloween. Every day this October, Creepy Kingdom will be releasing a brand new episode counting down to Halloween. 26 mini-episodes, 5 full-length regular ones are coming your way. You can follow along at home by going to creepykingdom.com. In today's episode, guest host Derek Bergen and Brian McNichols from the Pardon the Pixie Dust podcast share some fun theme park Halloween activities.
Pardon the pixie dust, but I'm Brian McNichols. Hey, this isn't our show. What the hell are we doing here?
Derek Bergen here. I'm not sure, but let's just get on with it before people realize what happened and turn off the show. Although this is a podcast, Brian, that once spent 45 minutes talking about Captain EO. So clearly this audience will listen to anything. All right, Brian, we're here to discuss Halloween time at Orlando theme park. So let's get right into it and go to Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party at the Magic Kingdom. It is the centerpiece event of the Walt Disney World Resort around Halloween, but this party can cost up to $80 per person if you go on Halloween night, plus another $100 to boot if you want to enjoy the villain soiree. Simple question for you, Brian. Is it worth that kind of money?
I think that it really depends. I mean, if... It can be. I mean, the thing with Mickey's Not So Scary is that you can get into the Magic Kingdom starting at 4 p.m., even though the party doesn't start till 7. So the parties usually run from 7 p.m. until midnight. If you go in at 4, now you're talking about, 8 hours of park time that you can go without having to use a park day ticket. So... you can shave that park day off. Sure, if you're talking about a 7-day trip, getting a 6-day ticket versus 7-day ticket, is only saving you $15 maybe. But yeah. But it's still a little bit that cuts off that price. But if you can take advantage of that whole time, you'll get rides that aren't going to have a huge weight towards the end of the night. They're going to have basically no weight for anything. You get the Boodoo Halloween Parade, which is one of, if not the best parade in Disney World. You get the Hallowishes, which I think is probably the best fireworks show.
Yeah.
And you get some candy, which, is probably worth about 50 cents.
No, I absolutely agree. And here's the thing, though. The counterpoint to that for $65, $80 is that many families, I would almost argue the majority, leave after Happy Hallowishes, mm-hmm. which is around 9:30. So they're not even taking advantage of the 5 hours plus the 3 hours from 4 o'clock. So they're really paying a premium price for a very limited time. I think they go into it thinking we're going to have 5 hours of a much emptier park. And the kids just crash. It happened to us, mm-hmm. too. And the kids just falling asleep, and you can't just leave them outside the rides, no matter how much you want to. I think it was great. The longest wait the entire night was Seven Dwarfs Mine Train at 20 minutes, which doesn't even happen during the day. It was walk on Space Mountain as much as you want, Big Thunder Mountain as much as you want, Pirates, Haunted Mansion. They have tons of new, one big thing that happened this year, tons of new food options. Maybe they've learned from the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. You give people unique foods, they're going to spend a ton of money on it. It was great, mm-hmm. whether it's a neat poisoned apple, candy, cotton candy corn. I mean, some really neat stuff. They have a better control, I think, of the exclusive characters, so you don't have that bomb that they had at Disney Hollywood Studios where it just blew up in their faces. I think they spread it out better to have so many more options that people aren't wasting a ton of their time, because they can do the whole Seven Dwarves. They can do the Nightmare on Elm Street. Nightmare on Elm Street, that'd be great. That's a universal Nightmare Before Christmas characters. And they can do that and still not feel like they lost their whole party thing. And you're right. That is the best parade I've ever seen. That is by far and away the best fireworks, I think, at Disney property. It's just fantastic. So I think if you only have a limited amount of time on your vacation, I would choose Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Night over any park day. Just go there. If you don't even want to enjoy the Halloween festivities, that's your time to get as much rides in as possible. And I think you're paying just a little bit more, and it's worth your sanity. It's a fantastic deal.
Yeah, and that's why, I mean, what you said about the kids, that's one of the reasons we don't do the hard tickets right now. My kids are young, they're 5 and 3, so they're not making it till midnight. So for us, it's really not worth the money. But if you can stick it out, it could be. Now, Villain Soiree, we didn't really talk about, but that's that I'm not sure about. But yeah, go to the Halloween party.
100 per All person. Right. That includes 3 to 5 year old. There's no price break for kids. That's amazing.
All right, well, let's head over to your favorite place, Universal Studios Florida, where their big event is Halloween Horror Nights, which is Horror Nights. Halloween Horror Nights, that's different. Halloween Horror Nights is basically a collection of intense, elaborate, and downright scary houses. Now, the Horror Nights are a big hit with the thrill ride crowd, but a little much for children and some adults, frankly. So, Derek, is Universal missing out on a lot of people and their money by going so scary with Halloween?
I don't think they're missing out on the money, because you're targeting the teenagers, the young adults, and up to, say, the 18 to 49-year-old demo, especially of men, the Comic-Con crowd, and your money is there. These are the people who don't have much in their savings accounts. They blow paycheck to paycheck, and that's what they're doing. They're going to these events. They're buying tons of alcohol. They're waiting in lines. They're buying merchandise. This is the audience you want, whereas the families, like we just talked about, we had two kids with us, but they're asleep, so we're definitely not going into stores and buying them stuff. We're not going out to dinner. We're just trying to get them around the park and keeping them quiet. So they're not missing out. They're probably getting tons more money in this, but I do think they could use a family-friendly event. And maybe since they have the two parks, you could do something more friendly Halloween over Islands Adventure, especially since you have a comic book area with Marvel Superhero Island and you have Seuss Land. I mean, these are just built for kids to have fun, and you can do that cheerful type of Halloween. But if you're going to go one way or the other, I fault Universal a lot, as I think they do not have enough for kids in those parks. But when you're talking about this Halloween event, no, you go where the money goes, and the money is with these men and young women as they're spending a boatload right now.
Yeah, I am generally very hard on Universal about not having options for children, especially children that don't meet, you know, say a 40, 42-inch height requirement. The one exception is their Halloween events. Halloween Horror Nights, I think, fills a void that theme parks don't often go for. I mean, where I live in Pennsylvania, there are just tons and tons of, you know, haunted hikes and haunted hay rides and things that are generally pretty scary. You go wandering through the woods in the dark and people jump out at you, and there's, you know, you come across, you know, campsites where these terrible things have happened. And I mean, these were back from, you know, when I was in high school, which was an unfortunately long time ago. You know, and these are the things, you know, at Halloween time, this is an event, or this is a holiday where the teenagers will come out, the 20-somethings, the college kids will come out, and they will spend some money to do this stuff. And yes, you know, the Mickey's Not So Scary is great for families. It is just a great event, but it is not scary. I mean, it's right there in the title. You know, I mean, so all these kids with, you know, with their disposable income, you know, are looking for something scary, and rather than go spend it on these small time haunted houses that, you know, pop up everywhere, Universal is getting them to come to them, which is a brilliant tactic. And, you know, they're probably leaving some, you know, money on the table by not going for the families, but they're getting a whole lot of it with this.
Yeah, I would argue for Disney, the Mickey's Not So Scary, don't go there for their Halloween stuff. I mean, that's kind of a waste. Mm-hmm. They don't really do much different for the park. You can buy more cheaper candy at home. Use that money to go around the park and do stuff which is normally frustrating. Where at Universal, it is a whole new experience at night compared to the day. Whereas Disney, they theme Main Street, and that's it. And they're giving you candy. That's really one of the only changes. Just a couple dance parties, which no one goes to anyway. At Universal, a whole new park comes up at night that is not there during the morning. All the haunted houses, it is completely different. There's no other comparison you can make at Universal or Disney throughout the year. You can say, well, it's kind of like this. There's nothing like this. It's a complete immersion. And that's why it's so popular. It's becoming more and more popular every year. Next year is the 25th. It's going to be the biggest. It's going to be the baddest. It's going to be great. And hopefully everyone goes there, Brian, including you.
I do hope to. My daughter would actually love it. But all right, well, that will do it for our takeover of your ears. If you happen to like us, make sure you check out our podcast, Pardon the Pixie Dust, which is available in all those places that you find podcasts. You know, of course, if you... Yeah, exactly.
Tinder.
If you liked us, you should probably also check out some psychiatric therapy because that's weird. But you can find us on Twitter. The show is at PTPD Show. I am at Yes That Brian. Derek over there is at Derek Bergen. And be excellent to each other.
See ya!